Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 22 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are very well. The word agile and the phrase agile working has been popping up in my podcasts a little bit over the last few months, and it's really because I've had this date in the diary for about 6 months to speak at the Agile Working event, which is now coming up as I record this next Wednesday. I'm really excited about it, and it's the first event of its kind that I know of in the UK. So it's going to be bringing together lots of different people who have different angles on the whole agile working theme. Mine, obviously, is around leadership, and I think that if you are thinking about agile, it's really critical that you don't just focus on the technology and the policies. My concern about agile is that it has become about how to have a scrum, how to run your meetings, how to project manage in a different way, how to have more flexible working, have people working from home, what technology and what processes do you need in order to make all that work. And that is ultimately part of being agile, is how people work and where they work, and making sure that how they work and where they work allows the most flexibility and the most, frankly, agility for the organisation. The problem is that that's not where you start. If you introduce those kind of policies, those sorts of procedures, that kind of technology, without thinking very deeply about the culture that's required in order to make those things work, then you will invest a lot of time and a lot of money in something that is actually not going to make you any more agile. I'm not going to say that it won't work, it'll have other advantages, but I cannot see how it would make you any more agile if you introduce those things without thinking about your culture. And who creates the culture? Who sets the tone of the culture? It's the leaders. And that is going to be my angle on Wednesday. And if you're listening to this podcast having heard me on Wednesday, having seen me speak on Wednesday, then firstly, welcome. I'm sure we had a brilliant time together. But secondly, this is an opportunity for me to go into a little more depth, perhaps, than I was able to in that presentation, and also to just reinforce a few key messages that I think are particularly important that you take away. So let me just start by being really clear about what I mean by leadership. I'm not talking about necessarily people who are senior in the organization, or certainly I'm not talking just about them. Leadership in an agile environment, or an environment that wants or needs to be more agile, can come from anywhere. It comes from anyone who is willing to take the initiative, who is willing, in a sense, to dip their toe in the water first. Any early adopter, frankly, is a leader. And those individuals need to do something a little more than just get started. They need to get started in a way that is infectious to other people in the organization, in a way that creates other leaders in the organization who are willing to do the same. So Agile presents a perfect opportunity to test out your leadership, because it isn't just going to come from people with the job title leader. It needs to come from other parts of the organization. It's a great opportunity for you, whether you have a senior position or not, to test out whether you actually have any leadership credibility. Because if you do go first, if you do dip your toe in the water and are roundly ignored by everyone in the organization, then you'll know you need to do a little bit about your leadership. What I want to focus on in this podcast is some of the things you'll need to let go of in the agile environment. Agile isn't something that you paste on to the assumptions and myths and beliefs that currently exist in your organization, because some of those beliefs and myths are counter to the whole idea of agile. They simply will directly conflict with what you're trying to do. So the very first myth that I think you need to question and ultimately let go of is the myth that people need to be managed. Now, a lot of agile systems are based on that myth, on the myth that people need to be managed. That if they're going to be working remotely, they're going to be working from home, they're going to be working from the client's office, they're not going to be there, you're not going to be able to see them, and therefore how are you going to keep them under control? Well, you're not going to be able to keep them under control, and it doesn't matter how brilliant the technology, how great the monitoring of how many emails they sent, how many hours they were sitting in front of their computer, tracking their finger movements on their keypad. It won't matter any of that. It won't matter how brilliant any of that technology is if you haven't let go of the myth that people need to be managed, because frankly, you cannot keep an eye on them. We're not in the industrial age anymore. The industrial age was based on cogs and wheels. It was based on creating an organization that ran like a machine because the machine was king. But there are some changes going on in society right now, a lot of changes in fact, but I want to focus on three of them that mean that your attempts to keep people under control are not going to work, and you're going to be forced to rethink this idea that people need to be managed. So the first change that's going on is employee expectations. Generation Y, that wonderful generation born anytime really after 1979, but we're old enough to remember 9/11. This is the critical thing, that 9/11 was a pivotal event in their lives. 75% of Generation Ys say that they will not compromise their values for their organization, for their job. 75% would rather walk away from a job that required them compromising their values than compromise. So when you're thinking about agile and you're thinking about what values these Generation Ys in your organization, the ones that are really going to love the remote working, what's important to them, if they feel they have to compromise their values in order to do the work, they will walk away. And this is really important for you as leaders to understand. They will not take kindly to being monitored with a wristband and having their keystrokes watched by a computer. Second thing about them, 61% of them want to make a difference in the world. So it's no good just sticking them in a home office and giving them a laptop to use. They actually need to feel that working in this way is making a difference. Now, Agile gives them the opportunity for that, because the whole point of Agile is people can make more of an impact. They're agile. They can respond more quickly. They can be flexible. They can solve problems. And these are the guys that want to do it. If you don't question this idea that people need to be managed, then you'll miss out on the opportunity of finding work for people that actually gives them this sense that they're making a difference. 80% of Generation Ys expect on-the-spot recognition. Now, this is going to be something really important for you if you are going agile or you want to be more agile. How are you going to offer this recognition? Well, certainly any attempts to monitor people is the opposite of recognition. That smells very badly of distrust. One of the ways that you can recognize people is by giving them space, by trusting them to actually be doing what matters no matter where they're located. So that's going to be really important to your Gen Ys. Let's think about the second influence coming into organizations now. This is people in the I generation. So they may have been born before 9/11, but they don't really remember it. It wasn't a pivotal event for them. So we're talking about kids born about 96, 97, something like that, and after. Now, for a while, it was a bit irrelevant what they thought because they weren't in the workplace, but they are now. They're approaching 20 and they are starting to come into your organization. And if you want to be agile and you're introducing these agile policies now, they are going to be relevant in the next 3, 4, 5 years as the largest generation so far, the I generation, start to flood into your organization. So let me tell you a bit about them. 76% are concerned about man's impact on the planet. So like the Gen Ys, they care very much about what your organization is doing in the world and is it doing good. 79% experience stress when they're away from their device. Now, this is important to you because in the workplace, in the office, you can keep an eye on people. You could have them check in their phones at the beginning of the day, and you know, people see other people taking breaks and they take breaks too. At home, this is far more challenging. You don't know what they're doing with their devices. You don't know whether they are putting them down. And if you use a lot of technology to keep people in check, then all you're doing is feeding this stress from devices. You need your agile workers to be able to put their devices down. And as leaders, you may need to think about that before you introduce agile. How are people actually going to be working and what is a healthy way of working? Currently, the way that people work in the office space is not terribly healthy. People do far too many hours. They sit at their desk still. They don't move around. They are staring at their computer screen. They are not taking proper breaks. They're not drinking enough water. These are things that are just aggravated when you don't have people actually sitting in your eye line. So you need to be thinking about this before you send people to work at home. And one thing to know about the I generation and the Gen Ys is that they see flexibility as a more desirable employee benefit than money. So when you introduce agile, these guys are gonna love it. They're gonna really feel like they are being rewarded in a massive way. You can completely undermine that by putting too many controls on them and monitoring them too tightly. And here's my key point. You don't wait to do something about this until you have people working at home. As leaders, you really need to be thinking about the culture of your organization first. Because all that will happen is that if you introduce agile without having addressed the cultural issues in your organization first, you will simply magnify those issues when you have people working in an agile way. I heard a story yesterday. I was giving a speech to a fantastic group, and I heard a story over lunch. Someone was explaining to me that she had been on a committee that had decided they weren't going to have a leader. So the leadership would be passed around the team. And the whole team voted on something which they decided, yes, we will all support each other. There was someone more senior in the organization that they needed to influence. And they decided they would all stand together and resist something that was coming from above. And when the big boss came to the meeting and said, okay, you know, this is what I'd like to do, everybody stood firm on the agreement they had made, except for one person who said, no, I disagree. I agree with you, big boss. The point is here that you can take away the hierarchy, but somebody who is not rewired to think differently about the implications of that will simply see a hole in the fence, and they will take every advantage of that hole in the fence. If you don't look at your culture first and how your Gen Ys and your incoming I generation, and by the way, this applies just as much to the Gen Xs and the baby boomers in your organization, because these are infectious desires. The desires of the Gen Ys and the I generation are influencing the Gen Xs and the baby boomers, not the other way around. If you don't take them into account before, then what you will get is you'll introduce agile, and then a few crafty individuals will simply see a hole in the fence, and they will take advantage of it. And all the politics and all the backstabbing and all the gossip and all the insecurity and all the stress that you currently have in your system will be reinforced and magnified, no matter how many processes and amazing agile training you have provided in advance. So you are not going to be able to manage your way out of these issues. You are going to have to create a trusting organization. You're going to have to create an organization where you and others in a leadership position and others who want to take the initiative and want to lead are really, really listening. You need to get the ego out of the way and listen to the stuff you don't want to hear, the stuff that requires you changing your world view. Just remember that leadership isn't something that you do to people. It's a way of being. It's a journey of inner development that allows you to be really present, to really hear what people are saying, and to allow initiatives to emerge from there, from you or from someone else. So in this situation, the leader isn't the one that creates followers, but the one that creates more leaders. Letting go of this myth that you have to manage, that people need to be managed, that your value comes from managing people, will allow you to be really open to other ideas from these people, from the very people you want to work in an agile way, about what's going to work for them. And if you can start listening, you can create more trust. And trust is really what you need if you want to be agile, because you can't keep an eye on people. You cannot monitor them. They're not there sitting in front of you. And of course, this applies at the moment anyway, because chances are you don't see your people all the time. You are working in a global environment or an environment where you're working alongside people who sit in different offices in different locations. So there's every reason to start listening and start creating the trusting environment now. Which leads me to my second myth that needs to be dropped, which is that if you introduce the right processes and technology, then agility will follow. Well, as I've said time and time again, trust is in crisis. There is currently about 52% trust in business globally, 43% trust in the media, and 41% trust in government. Government's having the worst problems at the moment. You can't introduce new technology, new processes, apps, new contracts, new practices without ensuring that you have trust. You just can't be agile without trust. I mean, you only have to think about it. Can people work in an agile way when they don't trust each other and they don't trust you? You can't have people working from home without trust. You don't trust them to get on with it, and they don't trust you that you're trusting them. So they feel they're constantly having to prove to you what they're doing, that they're adding value. And this is not the point. There's nothing agile about that. You can't make decisions that stick without trust, and you can't move at pace without trust. And if agility is about anything, surely it's about moving at pace. So a much higher priority than buying the right system is investing in authentic human connection. Humanity and relationship and connection between people is increasingly important when you are driving towards more agility. And what's really important to remember here is that an agile organization isn't one with more processes and more rules and more control. It has got to be one with less. The key to this is knowing what you stand for and what your organization stands for, and being really consistent with that. Doesn't mean you get your way all the time. It doesn't mean that you don't compromise. It doesn't mean that the purpose of the organization or what you stand for can't evolve. Of course it can. But if you're not even willing to put what you and what the organization stands for on the table, then don't be surprised if people don't trust you. Secondly is something that I call intimacy. This is something I've talked about before on this podcast, but revealing who you are creates trust. Removing the mask and doing the inner work on yourself, like listening to this podcast and others like it, to enable you to be more authentic and to make those genuinely authentic human connections. And the third thing that creates trust is a willingness to trust. Very often, leaders are obsessed with whether people trust them. The real question is, do you trust people? You're the leader. You're the one that has to learn how to trust others. You go first. If you want people to trust you, you have to show them how to trust. You have to show them that you're willing to do it, which also means removing the mask and being honest with yourself about whether you do trust people. And the real question is, if you really, really, really trusted people, what would you do differently? What would you be able to let go of? What would you stop doing? What would you be able to start doing if you really, really trusted people? And if you're not doing those things right now, then that indicates that maybe you don't trust them as much as you say. You don't have to be perfect at this. You don't have to decide today, oh yes, I trust everybody. You don't trust everybody. That's fine. But you need to embark on a journey of learning to trust and learning how to tell whether people are worthy of your trust. The third point that I want to emphasize in this podcast is some other stuff that you need to let go of, which is really around teams. I think firstly you need to let go of this idea that you need teams with a manager to supervise activity. I've mentioned it already before, but you don't need it. You don't need highly sophisticated people skills or anything like that. You don't need 25 qualities that every good leader needs, according to some article in Harvard Business Review. You only need those things if the job of a leader, or really rather the job of a manager, is to get people to do things that the manager wants them to do. But if you're letting go of the idea that people need to be managed, then you can also let go of the idea that you need to supervise their activity and that you need all of these qualities in order to be able to do that. You don't. The second thing you need to let go of is that knowledge is power. You can only empower people to the extent that you are willing to let go of your own power. If you like, imagine a scale. The one side of the scale can only go down if the other side goes up, if the other side is lighter. You need to divest yourself of information, divest yourself of power. You can't create an effectively agile organization while you're still trying to hold on to the power that comes with managing a team. And a lot of that is tied up with control of information. So let go of control of information. And every time you ask yourself the question, or, you know, should I really let go of this? It's quite sensitive. Will my people be able to handle it? Then you're faced with this question of, well, do I trust my people? If I can handle the information, what makes me think that my people can't? And if I genuinely believe that my people can't, then what do I need to do as a leader to equip them with the ability to handle and understand this information? Because holding on to it is not the solution. And finally, in an agile organization, you have got to let go of competition for resources and replace the competition that exists between teams and between different parts of the organization and between different businesses within the same organization. You have to replace that with purpose. Most companies at this moment in time don't have a clear purpose beyond making money and satisfying shareholders. They may say that the customer is first, but only if that means that they make money. Agile organizations, in order to be truly agile, you've got to put purpose first. You've got to put purpose even above profit, certainly in the short term. Now, obviously, to deliver on your purpose, you need to be there. You can't deliver on your purpose if you go broke. So the money is important, but agile organizations don't sacrifice purpose for profit. Purpose wins every argument. And in that environment, there can't be competition between different teams for resources because you're all there to achieve the same thing. So as a leader, before you even contemplate agile, before you even contemplate investing in expensive technology, you need to learn how to let go of this ego need to be in control of as many resources as possible. And that includes people. The size of your team is not an indicator of your influence, folks. That is an ego desire to have the biggest team, to have the most people, to have the most money, to make the fewest compromises. None of that delivers on the purpose of the organization, and all of it is going to get in the way of you becoming agile. Even if agile isn't a word that's being bandied around your organization, and I kind of think, well, if it isn't, why not? But if it isn't, I hope still that the things that I've talked about in this podcast are relevant, because it doesn't matter what you call it. Organizations need to be operating at pace. They need to be able to flex. It cannot be like turning the Titanic around, because when some little disruptor comes up your blind side and takes you by surprise and disrupts your industry in a way that you had not anticipated, you need to be able to respond quickly. Now, of course, the ideal is that you're the disruptor and that you are the one that leads the way, but, you know, maybe not. Maybe someone else is going to take you by surprise. If that happens, you need to be able to move fast, and it is no good to just say, well, we're very, very big, we're 60,000 people, or we're 30,000 people, or we're 2,000 people, and it's very hard for us to change strategic direction and to rally our people around something new. That simply will mean that you go bust. So being able to flex, being able to make decisions quickly, being able to operate at pace, to deliver fast, to learn as you go, to bug fix, all of these things are critical to business today, even if you don't call that agile. And you won't be able to do any of those things if, as a leader, you haven't let go of a lot of need for control, a lot of need for ego rewards, and a lot of need for status. So that's it for this week. I hope you have found today's podcast thought-provoking. If you have any thoughts about it at all, if you disagree with me, if you've been through Agile yourself, you didn't do any of the things I've talked about, and it was still hugely successful, then of course I want to know about that. I'm constantly refining and updating my ideas as I get input, so do let me know. You can contact me on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram at Blair Lees Palmer, or you can email me, blair@thatpeoplething.com. And with a reminder of that and other ways to stay in touch with me and the rest of the Punks and Suits community, here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
We now have a Facebook page where you can get information about the podcast, links to other articles and experts, and connect with like-minded people. Just search Punks and Suits and like our page. Of course, you can also follow Mummy on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram at Blair Lees Palmer, or email her blair@thatpeoplething.com. But most importantly, we want people to be able to find out about the podcast, and you can help with that. Please share the iTunes link on social media. Leadership is changing fast, and with your help, more people will discover how to make a difference and create organizations that are a force for good in the world.